Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 2. In this chapter, David is anointed king over Judah, and there is civil war between Judah and the rest of Israel. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 7. 2 Samuel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Then it happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "Where shall I go?" And the Lord said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "The men of Jabesh-Gilead were the ones who buried Saul." So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "You are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness, because you have done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 2, with some background notes. In chapter 1 of 2 Samuel, we had the death of King Saul and his sons. After David's time of mourning over the deaths of Saul and Jonathan, he inquired of the Lord what to do and where to go. You know, this is always a good practice in decision making. Ask the Lord what to do and what direction you should take. We see in verse 1 of our chapter that the Lord told David to go up to Hebron. Most likely, these directions were communicated to David through the high priest Abiathar, who had the ephod and the Urim and Thummim. Hebron, remember, was the place where the patriarchs were buried. Hebron was the area that Caleb had conquered for Judah back in Joshua chapter 14. Hebron became one of the leading cities of Judah and was the ideal place for David to begin his reign. Jerusalem, remember, was in the hands of the Jebusites at this time. So David and his men moved with their families from Ziklag to Hebron, and there David was anointed as king over Judah, verses 3 and 4. Now, one of David's first official acts as king over Judah was to send correspondence to the Jabesh-Gileadites and commend them for their kindness shown to King Saul for giving Saul's remains an honorable burial. Obviously, this was also a diplomatic move on David's part to pave the way for David to be received as king over all Israel. But 7 more years would go by before David would be recognized and anointed as king over all Israel. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this second chapter of 2 Samuel. Doctrinal point number 1, David's patience is a spiritual picture of Christ. David's patience is a spiritual picture of Christ. Verses 8 through 11. 2 Samuel chapter 2, beginning now at verse 8. But Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. And he reigned 2 years. Only the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Ishbosheth was a son of Saul who somehow escaped the Philistines and was not killed along with Saul and his other sons. So Abner, the general of Saul's army, set Ishbosheth up as king in Mahanaim, a city on the east side of the Jordan River, away from the Philistines. So while David was king over Judah, Ishbosheth was king over what was left of Saul's kingdom of Israel. Now the patience of David here, as the rightful king over all Israel, but waiting patiently on God to bring the whole kingdom to him, is certainly a spiritual picture of the greater David, namely Christ, waiting on God, the Father, to bring in the earthly kingdom where our Lord will reign as king. Now, we're not talking here about the church, but the literal earthly kingdom where Christ will reign over all nations of this earth. Right now, our Lord is the rightful king and recognized as king by believers, but he is not recognized as the rightful king by the majority of people. But he will be when he returns to this earth as king. Then every knee will bow and submit to him as king. Right now, he waits patiently at the right hand of the Father. As the Messianic Psalm 110, verse 1 says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Psalm 110, verse 1. And as in David's day, before the Lord's kingdom is established over all of this earth, there will be an Ishbosheth of the end times. As Ishbosheth was not the rightful king and was from the house of Saul, which tried to get rid of David, so there will be a false Messiah king of the end times, known as the Antichrist. But just as Ishbosheth was defeated by David's forces, as we'll see, so will the end time Antichrist be defeated by the Lord's forces, and the kingdom of the true king will be set up over this whole world. In the meantime, our Lord waits patiently with his faithful people. David's patience is a spiritual picture of Christ. Doctrinal point number 2. Abner's challenge is a spiritual lesson about conflict. Abner's challenge is a spiritual lesson about conflict. Verses 12 through 32. Now Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and compete before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." So they arose and went over by number, 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. And each one grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore, that place was called the Field of Sharp Swords, which is in Gibeon. So there was a very fierce battle that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab and Abishai and Azahel. And Azahel was as fleet of foot as a wild gazelle. So Azahel pursued Abner, and in going he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Are you Azahel?" He answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and lay hold on one of the young men and take his armor for yourself." But Azahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Azahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab?" However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear, so that the spear came out of his back, and he fell down there and died on the spot. So it was that as many as came to the place where Azahel fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner. And the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Ammah, which is before Giah, by the road to the wilderness of Gibeon. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit, and took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall a sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the latter end? How long will it be then until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God lives, unless you had spoken, surely then by morning all the people would have given up pursuing their brethren." So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and did not pursue Israel anymore, nor did they fight anymore. Then Abner and his men went on all that night through the plain, crossed over the Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. So Joab returned from pursuing Abner. And when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing of David's servants 19 men and Azahel. But the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin and Abner's men 360 men who died. Then they took up Azahel and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at daybreak. This is quite a dramatic portion of scripture, isn't it? You know, you can go to the Pool of Gibeon today and see where this contest took place between Ishbosheth's men under Abner and David's men under Joab. In that day, sometimes military strength was determined or at least perceived by who won military contests on a small scale. In this case, all 24 contestants killed each other and fell down dead together, and so the battle was joined. Joab's forces were clearly victorious over Abner's forces, even though Azahel, Joab's brother, died a horrible death at the hands of Abner, as we see here in verse 23. In verse 26, we read, "Then Abner called to Joab and said, 'Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the latter end? How long will it be then until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brethren?'" In verse 27, Joab answered, "And Joab said, 'As God lives, unless you had spoken, surely then by morning all the people would have given up pursuing their brethren.'" Now, did Joab mean by this statement that if Abner had not called for a truce, the conflict would have continued? Or did he mean that if Abner had not challenged Joab in the first place, there would have been no conflict? Well, it's hard to say for sure. In any case, the conflict did result as a direct result of Abner's challenge, and the civil war could certainly have been avoided if there had been no challenge. They could have talked things out at this point. There could have been dialogue. You know how often this is the case in churches and fellowships today. So many conflicts could be avoided if folks would talk things out in love rather than constantly challenging one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26 says, "Let us not become conceited, challenging one another, envying one another." And Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Galatians 5:15. Abner's challenge is a spiritual lesson concerning conflict. What about practical application from 1 Samuel chapter 2? Let's ask the Lord first about our next move. Let's ask the Lord first about our next move. After the death of King Saul, David did not just take matters into his own hands and grab the kingdom, even though he knew he was the rightful king, and even though he could have easily made his move without consulting the Lord. But David did the right thing here, and so should we. David asked the Lord what and when and where, and he did it before he made his move, not after. Too often we don't consult the Lord until after we make our selfish moves and after things don't work out. Whenever we have to make a move, whether it be literally a change in location or some other decision, let's be like David here in 2 Samuel chapter 2. Let's ask the Lord first about our next move.